recorded over 50 years ago, capturing the spirit of the 1960s, the Beatles' psychedelic masterpiece Tomorrow Never Knows from their album Revolver. It's a record which is still in the zeitgeist and continues to inspire new generations of musicians, including today's featured artist, the British Asian clarinetist Arun Ghosh.
I like the feeling that when I play that song, it feels like something has come full circle, because that's a piece of music from my parents' generation that I was introduced to quite young. My dad always talked about, you know, the philosophical kind of nature of those lyrics, you know, was made aware that it was an Indian folk tune that Lennon had taken and just took the spirit of a rag, because it's got Indian classical or folk roots, but it's come from the Beatles, and that it has this history of philosophy that has inspired countless people as well. I mean, it's a wonderful piece of music and I do love playing it.
And stay tuned to hear Arun's full version of that Beatles classic, as well as some of his own compositions later on the show. Also coming up, our man in Europe, Phil Smith, shines the spotlight on one of Europe's leading jazz festivals, which celebrates its 40th anniversary this year. We'll get an overview of the festival's history with its artistic director and also hear from trumpeter Tom Arthurs.
One of the best moments of North Sea for me was on the way to my sound check, was just somehow ending up on some balcony in some other room. And I walked in and I was quite tired and I just sat down. And it was Ron Carter, actually.
And stay tuned to hear about Tom's experience with the legendary bassist Ron Carter and more about the North Sea Jazz Festival later on the show. Well, inspiration is our theme for today. The gift to inspire others and the joy in seeking and paying respect to the history of the music. Our opening track is a new release from American vibraphone virtuoso Warren Wolf. Whilst attending the famed Berklee College of Music in Boston, Warren studied with former Spyro Gyra vibes man Dave Samuels. Wolf cites Milt Jackson as a key influence, saying, "When I heard him, I realized that's how I want the vibes to sound. I always wanted to style myself to play like a horn player. Charlie Parker's recordings with Miles Davis were my biggest influence. Later, I listened to Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, and people like that." On this new recording, Convergence, he's in fine company with pianist Brad Meldow, Christian McBride on the bass, Jeff Tane Watts on drums, and guitar legend John Scofield. Let's check out Soul Sister.
Thank you.
Soul Sister from vibraphonist Warren Wolf, an artist steeped in the melodic twists and turns of the bebop tradition, but certainly adding his own fresh energy to the vibes. His album Convergence is out now on the Mac Avenue label. It's his third release with the label, and he included marimba in the frame, interestingly providing his own accompaniment on vibraphone. There's a lovely version of Chopin's Minute Waltz in a medley with Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust. And it's great to hear an emerging artist revel in the company of such musical heavyweights. And now to a revelation of another kind in Jamaican dub and reggae, which provides the inspiration for British producer, musician and bandleader Will Holland. Quantic is his recording alias, and his artistry was born out of establishing his own take on the funk, soul and Afrobeat renaissance in the early 2000s. As an aside, the Quantic Soul Orchestra was born. At the time, he was living in Brighton. In the interim, he spent 10 years in Colombia and is now based in New York. So now his hotly anticipated new release features his current Flowering Inferno project, exploring the irresistible depths of reggae music. This is Nightshade. Nightshade from Maverick producer Quantic's Flowering Inferno. The reggae-drenched album is called 1,000 Watts and also features collaborations with Jamaican legend U Roy and vocalist Alice Russell. And you can catch Quantic playing with his band when he plays a string of British dates starting at the Glasgow Jazz Festival at the O2 Theatre on June the 22nd. On the 23rd, he's at the Belgrave Music Hall in Leeds, and on the 24th, he plays the O2 in Leicester. Well, from one highly collaborative artist to two musicians who celebrate a decade-long partnership yielding their fifth duo release. It's Scottish sax man Rob Hall and fellow Scot pianist Chick Lyle. Over the years, their music has drawn inspiration from folk and 20th century classical composition, poured through the filter of different jazz approaches, from the traditional to free jazz. The album celebrates the music of Greek composer Giannis Konstantinidis, who, in addition to many classical compositions, wrote film scores, worked for the stage, and songs inspired by Greek folk music. 12 of his 44 Greek miniatures are central to the repertoire explored by Rob and Chick, and they do tap into a deep sense of identity. Well, from those Greek miniatures, this is number 19. Thank you. Rob Hall on clarinet and Chick Lyle on piano, and Greek Miniature No. 19 from their album Myth, out now on the FMR label. And more clarinet, as promised, this time in the hands of Arun Ghosh, captured in a concert that includes his unique version of the Beatles' Tomorrow Never Knows. His band moves comfortably between raw power and tender meditation. By way of a preview from his set, this is After the Monsoon, which Arun introduces with some specific listening instructions.
I want us to think that we're in a kind of like Harold Pinter kind of play where time's running backwards. So this is After the Monsoon. And then I don't know what's going to happen next, because I don't know whether it's the future or the past anymore. But the present moment, we're going to play After the Monsoon. And this is on our album, A South Asian Suite.
The robust and soulful clarinet and entertaining personality of Arun Ghosh and After the Monsoon. I'm Julian Joseph, and you'll be able to hear more from that set on today's edition of Jazz Lineup later on the show. Next, we remember the New Orleanian trumpet great composer and bandleader, who was based in London and made a strong, vital contribution on the UK jazz scene. He also enjoyed a successful international career. I'm speaking of Abram Wilson. I met Abram in 2002 at a jam session when he first arrived in London, and I was so struck by his musicality on trumpet that I invited him to join my big band. From then on, he would regularly come to my home where we played, talked, and ate. He was a man who always exuded great generosity and enthusiasm for this great music. Abram Wilson's death was a shock to British jazz, and on the 14th of June at St. James's Studio in London, there will be a concert commemorating the fourth anniversary of his passing. Let's remember this great artist on a piece that reflects his fire, intelligence, and soulful sound. From the album Life Paintings, this is The Artistry of Abram Wilson and From Dusk Till Dawn. Thank you. the effervescent trumpeter Abram Wilson, and From Dusk Till Dawn from his 2009 album Life Paintings. And remember, in the studio of St. James's Theatre in London on the 14th of June is where the celebrations remembering the life and music of trumpeter Abram Wilson will take place. Well, keeping trumpet to the fore with Miles Davis on many of our minds through the recent release of Don Cheadle's biopic Miles Ahead, I felt it appropriate to focus on a new collection from one of Miles' favourite pianists, Ahmad Jamal. An opportunity to hear the trademark discipline and taste of this giant on the piano all over the time frame of 1955 to 61. Often when describing Ahmad Jamal's style, his sublime use of space and rhythm, which he pioneered in his trio in the 1950s, is cited. Miles was one of Jamal's greatest champions, and at the close of each of the two CDs are large band works from arranger, bandleader, and famous Davis collaborator Gil Evans. The reason they're included are because Evans uses Jamal's concept as the template for his arranging, particularly on Ahmad Jamal's new rumba. This is Jamal in 1955 with Ray Crawford on guitar and Israel Crosby on the bass, and I can't resist melting this into the version by Miles with Gil Evans also included in this collection. This is New Rumba. Thank you. Miles Davis with Gil Evans playing New Rumba by Ahmad Jamal on an arrangement inspired by the previous version we just heard from the composer and pianist Ahmad Jamal, from the trio and quintet recordings with Ray Crawford, from a classy 2-CD collection with a booklet that includes an interview taken from Len Lyon's book The Great Jazz Pianists, alongside liner notes from Nat Hentoff. That's out on the L label via Cherry Red Records. On FM, online, and on digital radio, this is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph. And next up, Jazz Lineup's Phil Smith looks at the history and philosophy of the North Sea Jazz Festival, which takes place in Rotterdam and is one of the most important festivals on the jazz calendar. This year, the festival, founded by the Dutch impresario and publisher Paul Ackett, celebrates 40 years of bringing the finest music to hordes of jazz fans.
Every year in early July, Europe's largest port, Rotterdam, hosts the North Sea Jazz Festival. Sarah Vaughan performed at the very first edition.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings. Just one of those things. It was just one of those nights.
It all began in 1976 in the city of The Hague back then. And so, far from being a little love affair, the event has become something that's truly lasted.
Gossamer wings, just one of those things.
I'm sure most jazz lineup listeners will agree that there are many great places to put a jazz festival. You can spread one out over a whole city, as London does so well. You can take one into the mountains and the lakes, as they do at Montreux or Saalfelden. But a harbour seems like a particularly suitable place for a jazz festival, somewhere where visitors and musicians alike can sit on the dock of the bay and wait to see who steps off the boat.
It was in 1982 that I went for the first time with my father, because he was a big Oscar Peterson fan. We were on one of the first rows, and you could see this giant coming on stage with his big hands, and he had all these rings on his hands. He came on stage very slowly, and then he sat down, and then suddenly he started playing, and he was like an angel, you know. Playing so fast and so beautiful. So that made a very big impression on me and my father.
I spoke to director Jan-Willem Lurken about the festival's 40 years of history and what this year's ships will bring in.
And I think we never missed a festival till I became the director, you know. So I've been there since I was 14 years old. So I was basically raised with this festival, and it's one day suddenly you are the director of that festival. That is very special. The festival was started and founded and invented by Paul Eckert. Paul Eckert was a well-known Dutch businessman. He was a publisher. He became wealthy in selling his publishing company. And he was a very big jazz lover, but also a big rock and pop promoter. So, you know, he also had this duality in itself. So he invented this concept with you take one building, because in Holland it rains a lot, just as in the UK. So an open-air festival is always, you have always this risk of the bad weather. So he thought, well, I want to be inside a building and I want to create multiple stages in this one building and present all kinds of jazz and related music. And that was his philosophy. And I still think we kept that concept of his alive still today. So, you know, we book these popular bands, we sell tickets, but alongside this 13 stages where we are now, people can wander around and get acquainted with all the other bands.
British trumpeter Tom Arthurs has played at North Sea Jazz on several occasions.
One of the best moments of North Sea for me was on the way to my sound check was just somehow ending up on some balcony in some other room. And I walked in and I was quite tired and I just sat down. And it was Ron Carter, actually. Ron Carter started playing My Funny Valentine. And this was just really an incredible moment because, of course, you know, like, I mean, this 1964 concert of Miles, like, which one of the great concerts and great versions of this song, and he has such an incredible way to play all kinds of notes that, you know, aren't really supposed to fit, but they do.
While Prince or Stevie Wonder or Earth, Wind & Fire might be destroying an adjacent room, destroying in a good way, the performances of musicians like Tom Arthurs represent the more experimental and intimate side to the festival offering.
Yeah, this was a very interesting project, which was kind of commissioned kind of within the frame of the festival. The idea was that myself and Lothar Ohlmeyer, the clarinet and saxophone player, we would improvise with the software, so generative software, but the guys who designed the software wouldn't actually be there at the concert. And this was kind of the idea to see, could this work? Like, within what kind of parameters could this work? You know, in what way it should be responsive? Also, you know, what things we should control and not control in order to make it actually sound like music.
Playing us out, this year's artist in residence at North Sea Jazz, the French-Lebanese trumpeter Ibrahim Malouf and his Khaltoum project.
Well, artist in residence is an artist we invite every day, so he can do three projects, one Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday. And it's great to have him for the whole weekend, and you know that he can show all his stories and all the sides of his musicianship.
The music of Ibrahim Malouf, artist in residence at this year's North Sea Jazz Festival. The festival runs from the 8th, 9th and 10th of July this year. And if you want to find out more about some of the music featured in Phil's report, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. So now to tonight's concert performance, which comes from Anglo-Indian clarinet virtuoso Arun Ghosh and his band, recorded at the South Coast Jazz Festival. Arun has established himself as a major musical force in the UK on clarinet, with a band that combines music from his Indian heritage, the rock and folk music that he grew up listening to, and his beloved jazz. His set was recorded at the Rope Tackle Centre in Shoreham-by-Sea, featuring Chris Williams on alto saxophone, Idris Rahman on tenor sax, Liran Donin on bass, Shirley Tete on electric guitar, Rasko Rasic on drums, and of course Arun himself on the clarinet. Let's hear Arun talking with Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre, and then we'll hear Arun's own Aurora and the Beatles' Tomorrow Never Knows.
Do you perceive the clarinet as an Eastern or a Western instrument? Or maybe both?
Oh, I don't perceive it as either of those things. I mean, I just genuinely perceive it as an instrument. I mean, I think I came to the clarinet in a Western context through playing classical music and then later playing jazz. But over the years, I've become more and more aware of Balkan tradition, the klezmer tradition, the Turkish tradition, the Greek tradition of clarinet playing, the Russian sound, you know, and of course, going the other way, the New Orleans sound. So
it's kind of universal, really.
It is. I mean, the clarinet is actually really interesting like that. Because you play it with your mouth, you are able to shape it. I think all instruments are universal. And I think the violin was obviously almost a typical Western instrument, but when you hear...
You hear it in India.
When you hear it played in India, when you hear the erhu played in China, or when you hear a Romani gypsy violinist, you know, or all sorts of things, you know, you know that this is a universal instrument. I think all instruments belong to us all, really. Yeah, they have to. And then it's about the person who's playing them. It's about the music that's being played, and it's about the musical culture that they're a part of and what they're expressing.
Thank you.
Chris Williams, alto saxophone.
So in terms of the range of elements in the music, which is wide to say the least, there's the rock. Occasionally we can hear almost like a hip-hop funk groove. The Indian element obviously is very strong. And one thing that you did on stage frequently was use a Tanpura drone. So you have a little recording and you triggered that. When did you start doing that?
I always use the drone, actually. It's a small white box that I've got, made in India. Beautiful Indian craftsmanship, and it's recreating the sound of the tanpura, which plays the supporting drone in a piece of Indian classical music. So it plays a supporting harmony that then allows the kind of the soloist, him or her, to play over it, and the notes that they play to sound in context. And so I like using that sound.
Electric bass.
Skorasic on drums.
Your group, six piece with electric bass and electric guitar, and the three horns and drums, it packed a real punch.
When we really make that noise, it's a real joyful noise and it can be very special. But I do love the extreme of being able to bring it right down, because I do have that side to me, that intimate desire to really kind of play softly, you know, and with an instrument like the clarinet, it's beautiful to be able to do that. Sometimes I feel at my most expressive when I am playing softly and playing ballads, interestingly enough. I suppose in some ways I am known for my group having quite a full-on big sound, but it's very important to me to sort of play softly and present that side to me, and so I always enjoy those moments. Sometimes, you know, as a band, we'll do covers, Tomorrow Never Knows and so on. I mean, Jimi Hendrix, or we've even done Johnny Cash tunes. You know, I really enjoy just being a pub rock band sometimes. But with this one, I wanted this to be different. Tomorrow Never Knows, which has a drone of its own in the original recording. It feels lovely to do that. When I play that song, it feels like something has come full circle, because that's a piece of music from my parents' generation that I was introduced to, you know, when I was quite young. My dad always talked about, you know, the philosophical kind of nature of those lyrics, you know. And on the other hand, I just really loved the beat of it, but also was made aware that it was an Indian folk tune that Lennon had taken and made his own.
Thank you.
Chris Williams, Liam Dubin, Roscoe Rasic, Shirley Tetta, Idris Rahman, and my name is Arun Ghosh. Thank you very much.
Clarinetist Arun Ghosh and his group recorded at South Coast Jazz, ending their set with The Beatles' Tomorrow Never Knows. And before that, you heard Aurora. It's worth checking out the Jazz Lineup page for pictures of Arun and the band from the festival, or via the Radio 3 website. That's almost the end of this week's show. On next week's Jazz Lineup, the spirit of New Orleans street music, courtesy of the Northern Monkey Brass Band. Plus, we'll be getting inside the mind of poet and Radio 3 presenter Ian McMillan, who will be sharing his love and enthusiasm for jazz. To finish, let's hear from an artist who continues to inspire. It's saxophone colossus Sonny Rollins, who releases Volume 4 in his live series called Roadshows, capturing the maestro in concert. The latest album is called Holding the Stage. Here he is in unusually typical fashion on a piece simply entitled Solo. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye. Thank you.